under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Third and final hour on this Monday, October 28, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network, the website yourdefendingfathers.com. Joining us on the show right now is Jeremy Rogers. He is being prosecuted as a J6er. You all remember, of course, January 6, 2021, what happened at the Capitol. Well, Jeremy's from Michigan. He was there at the rally, at the event, and somehow, some way, got involved in being criminally charged regarding his activities there at the Capitol on January 6. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you very much for having me.
How old are you? Do you have kids? Basically, tell the folks who Jeremy Rogers is.
Sure, Randy. I actually just turned 30 earlier this month, and I am married. I have a wife and two boys. My boys are now 5 and 3 years old, and at the time of my arrest, they were 3 and 2, and that was in end of June last year.
End of June last year. What did the Department of Justice charge you, allege that you had done wrong there at the Capitol in Washington, D.C.?
Well, Randy, as you know, typically the federal government overcharges defendants in an attempt to force defendants into taking plea agreements. So all told, they've charged me with 6 felonies and 3 misdemeanors. One of those felonies was the obstruction of Congress charge that over 300 people were charged with related to the events of that day. As you probably know, at the end of June this last year, the Supreme Court tossed that charge. They said that it was unconstitutional. So now I'm down to 5 felony charges and 3 misdemeanors.
Now, one thing I want people to understand, You have lived in Michigan your entire life. You went there. Did you go on a bus? Did you drive yourself? How did you end up being in Washington, D.C. on January 6th?
Sure. So I have lived in Michigan for the vast majority of my life, with the exception of a couple of years living out of state. But I love my country. I love this state. And I believe and still believe that the 2020 election was not above board. And when I heard that Trump was having a rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, 2021, I thought it was my patriotic duty to go there and participate in that historic event. And so I went with a few other folks that I knew from the area and headed to the rally that day.
You got there. You basically heard Donald Trump speak there before the event started to unfold. What was your takeaway that moment when you heard President Trump speaking to the folks?
Well, honestly, Randy, the energy in that crowd was incredible. I'm sure you know there were hundreds of thousands, if not a million people present at that rally that day. Everyone was smiling. Everyone was excited to be there. And everyone there loved Donald Trump, President Trump, and wanted to express their support for him. No one had, at least in my opinion, no one looked like they were angry or ready to commit any acts of violence or anything like that. Also, Trump's speech, you know, Trump never said anything and to encourage any sort of violence or illegal activities.
Got it. Jeremy, we're going to hold you through the break. Hard break, okay. Commercials. Jeremy Rogers, the J6er. We're going to hold him through the break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey.
Hey Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Staying on through the break is Jeremy Rogers. He's one of the J6ers that has been criminally charged in his roles as to what happened there at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Jeremy, explain to the people, after Donald Trump spoke, what did you guys do? What is it that exactly they're alleging you did? How did they supposedly either catch you on video or in person? What happened from your perspective on January 6th in Washington, D.C.?
Sure, Randy. And just so that I'm perfectly clear on this, I have no criminal record whatsoever. I have no history of violence. I've never broken the law. I've gotten some traffic tickets. That's the worst thing I've ever been accused of doing.
Sure.
And so it's crazy to find myself in the situation that I'm in currently. And, you know, I want to be really careful because the case is still ongoing. I don't want to get into a lot of the details.
No, I don't want the specifics. I want a broad general perspective as to what happened that day.
Sure. So you asked about the charges specifically. Those are a matter of public record. Anyone can look those up if they would like to do so.
Sure.
As far as what happened that day is I witnessed a number of folks starting to make their way slowly up to the Capitol building. In fact, I had been near the edge of the rally, closest to the Capitol building, but, you know, still on the outlawn, if you will, of the Washington Monument.
Yeah, the mall.
And,
absolutely.
Ray, yep, and Ray Epps actually spoke to a group of the group that I was with there that day and had told us that Trump was going to be speaking at the Capitol building next, which turned out to be a lie. We didn't know any better at the time, so we did start making our way towards the Capitol building that afternoon.
What happened when you got there?
Well, you know, it was interesting. The first thing that my friends and I noticed is there were almost no police officers visible around the Capitol building. It didn't appear to be like it was a restricted area. Did not appear like there were, you know, there were bike racks essentially kind of up around, you know, the Capitol building itself. But
sure.
Very few officers present. We did actually speak to an officer, and we had asked him where we could find some restrooms, and he had directed us to a public restroom nearby. But it was interesting just to note that it appeared like there was almost no police presence around the Capitol building, at least at that time of the day. So we went and used the restrooms, and then we came back, and at that point, the crowd had grown in size, and we anticipated that being the case because we thought that, you know, Trump was going to be speaking there.
Sure.
You know, we were around the building at that time, and we could hear noise coming from one side, well, you know, one particular side of the building. We were on the opposite side. And we weren't sure what was going on. And at that point, that's when things started to happen on the side of the Capitol building nearest the mall. And everyone knows what happened after that.
Now, did you physically enter the Capitol building?
I cannot discuss the details of what did or did not happen with myself that day because this is still
okay,
an unresolved
because of the case. Got it.
Yep.
All right. So whether or not they have this evidence against you, are you even aware of the evidence based on the charges? Have they shared the evidence with you and your attorney?
So what the feds do is and they intentionally try to make it very difficult for defendants. So, you know, they are required by law to turn over all evidence related to the charges with any of these defendants. But what they do is they basically turn over thousands of hours worth of video footage from that day and then call that discovery and say, well, you know, you have all the evidence there. And then, you know, you have to have a defense team that can dig through all of those thousands and thousands of hours of footage and try to find the relevant information. So it's definitely a crooked system.
Now, on that point, there are other people in the exact same situation that you're in. Many of them, however, some of them are actually incarcerated. They're actually in jail, some being held in Washington, D.C., city jails, others being house arrest. There's all kinds of things. At this point, number one, first question, have you ever spent a day in jail as a result of these charges?
Yes. So I will try to just really briefly kind of give you a quick outline of my experience with the federal government regarding this matter. So starting my first interaction with the FBI was in December of 2022. I was working as an insurance agent in my hometown, and I had two federal officers show up to my office, and they asked to speak with me. I met with them in our conference room, and they told me they had some questions for me regarding an ongoing investigation. They did not specify what that investigation was about, but I know enough that you do not ever talk to the FBI without an attorney present. So I respectfully told the gentleman that I appreciated that they had a job to do, but that I was not comfortable answering their questions without an attorney present. They thanked me, gave me a business card, and asked me to have an attorney contact them. I called one of my friends who was an attorney, and he called the FBI at their field office that very same day. We never heard back from them after that interaction. And 6 months later, let me back up. 2 days after that visit, I lost my job. So I ended up working with my dad down south for the next few months after that, and I was actually in Florida with my father when I got a call at the end of June, early in the morning, from my wife telling me that our house had just been raided by the federal government and that the FBI at rifle point took my 2-year-old and 3-year-old sons in their pajamas out of our house. And the very next day, I was asked to turn myself in down in Florida, which I did. And so to answer your question, I spent a few hours that day that I turned myself in jail at the federal courthouse in Orlando. Thankfully, unlike so many other people, I was released later that day after my initial appearance before that judge in Orlando.
Now, at that point, had you retained an attorney? Was he there with you when you were being processed in Orlando, or were you basically having to represent yourself?
So the day of the raid, I immediately contacted the attorney that I had originally reached out to after my initial interaction with the FBI in December of 2022. And he was the one that arranged for me to turn myself in. He had contacted the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, and they asked me to turn myself in the following day. So thankfully, that gave me a few hours that day before I had to turn myself in to retain an attorney, which I did. His name was John Pierce. I've now switched attorneys to a gentleman named Bill Shipley. But I was able to retain an attorney the day before I turned myself in. And however, they weren't able to be present with me in Orlando the following day. So I did have a public defender represent me for that initial appearance in Orlando.
Got it. So that was basically you getting out of jail, then trying to get on with your life. But at the same time, they were going to continue these charges. And to this day, you are still involved in fighting these battles currently legally in the court system, correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Now, this new attorney, I understand he's created a legal defense fund. This is not only just for you, but I believe many other J6ers. How many other J6ers is your current attorney representing, if you know?
So I don't know an exact number offhand. I do know that Mr. Shipley has represented or is currently representing over 40 J6 defenders or defendants, excuse me. And Mr. Shipley has spent a lot of his time fundraising and has been able to thus far not charge his clients a single dollar for representing them. And part of the reason that I was excited to talk to you today, Randy, was Mr. Shipley and the other attorney that works with him, his name is Ryan, they had told me that the funds that they have raised are starting to dry up, and that they need more contributions to continue the work that they're doing. They think that possibly because folks think that Trump is going to win, that a lot of this is and a lot of this is going to go away if Trump wins, that donations have slowed. But they definitely still need help. They have a lot of cases that are still unresolved, and folks still need to be represented in D.C. For all of these cases. And Mr. Shipley is an attorney from Hawaii, so that involves a lot of travel expenses for him and hotel expenses. And so that's what these funds are going towards.
Got it. Now, the bit.ly, it's a shortened up link that goes directly to the Give, Send, Go, or the GoFundMe type of account that he has set up. I'm going to give the address out in this podcast. People listening can go to this website, bit.ly/J6LegalDefenseFund. It's capital J, then the number 6, capital L, capital D, capital F, upper lowercase, Legal Defense Fund. So again, it's bit.ly, bit.ly/J6LegalDefenseFund. And when you click on that link, it takes you directly to the Legal Defense Fund for the January 6th. It is a give, send, go account. It is a campaign created totally to fund the legal defense of all these people that are being charged by the U.S. Department of Justice. One quick question I have for you, and then I'm going to let you go. Jeremy, because of the election, which is just a week from tomorrow, Donald Trump, everybody's thinking, is possibly going to win. If he wins, he's already said publicly he will pardon immediately, get everybody that's being held in jail out of jail, drop all these charges. However, he necessarily can't do that until, number one, he gets sworn in on January 20th of next year. Number two, he still has to deal with the Department of Justice. It's not something that necessarily the president can just sign an executive order, flip a switch, and it's over and done with. This has to go through a process, correct?
I believe that that's correct. Now, I do know that some people believe that when Trump takes office and the Department of Justice is under new leadership, that some of these cases that may not yet be resolved, the new leadership in the Department of Justice could choose to just drop the charges for some of these cases. Now, if defendants have already been convicted, my understanding is that President Trump could, on day one with a stroke of a pen, pardon everybody that's already been convicted.
Sure. Absolutely. Overturn the convictions, pardon them, and be done with this whole nightmare. Bottom line, real quick, what kind of toll has this taken on you and your family?
Well, Randy, it's not been an easy process. I'd never been fired from a job in my life, and so that was not a great experience when I lost my job as an insurance agent. Since then, I've had 5 different jobs because, as you can imagine, it's difficult to find work when you're facing circumstances like these.
Yeah.
It's put a lot of stress on my family and my boys and myself as well.
Yeah.
I lost, Randy, I lost 20 pounds in the weeks following my arrest from stress and anxiety and the uncertainty. You feel like your life is in limbo, and that you can't move forward, can't move backwards, and you're just waiting